national attention is a bad thing, I think that's a good thing for the state of Wisconsin, and it certainly magnifies and has a light on, you know, all of these important issues. It's the spending, I think, is certainly an issue. We're hearing, you know, one group has pledged anywhere between $10 and $30 million to Dan Kelly in this race. It's shocking amounts of money.
That is Janet Protasiewicz, presumptive front runner in this race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She was speaking with Pat Kreitlow of the Up North Radio news programs, which you hear on the mornings on your civic media radio stations. And she is going on to the April election. The only question now is, who will join her on the ballot? Will it be Dan Kelly or Jennifer Doerr? Likely not Everett Mitchell, looking at the numbers coming in. Todd Albaugh, we have a statistical dead heat between the two conservatives in the race.
It really is, Terry. Right now, AP is Associated Press estimating right now with 64% of the vote counted. We have Daniel Kelly now in statistically, well, in second place with 22.9% of the vote, and then Jennifer Doerr at 22.7%. The actual vote count is 157,855 votes for Dan Kelly, 156,743 for Jennifer Doerr. But again, 64% of the vote in, depending upon where all these votes are coming from, still a lot of time for either one of these to pull it out to face Judge Janet Protasiewicz in the general election come April 4th.
Maurice Shepard is a political scientist at Madison College in Madison. And Dr. Shepard, I'm just wondering if what we're seeing tonight confirms or defies what the experts were expecting tonight.
In a primary like this, where you have four candidates that are running for the state Supreme Court, I think the last time this happened was 2011 or so. So I think any expert should, once again, take all of this with a grain of salt. As I look at the election map, though, what stands out here is, you know, there's a lot of, in terms of Kelly and Doerr, there's a lot of Trump country still remaining to be counted. And I think, as was pointed out earlier, you know, that sort of, I think, will lean toward, once again, Kelly. He has the name recognition. He touts, constitutional conservatism. And again, with his relationship with former President Donald Trump, again, there's still a lot of Trump country to be counted. If you look at the map sort of up north and that sort, you know, it looks like Kelly would probably have the, and also if you look at counties that voted, that went Trump, some of those counties are counties that, I'm looking at Taylor County right now, again, not necessarily large, but, you know, Dan Kelly won that, you know, 50% of the vote there, did a very good job there. So just looking at the numbers as they're coming in and what's remaining to be counted, Kelly may have the upper hand. Again, he has name recognition, his ties with Trump, and again, the counties that remain sort of, still waiting to be get results in. It looks like he may be favored for second place here.
Todd Albaugh is keeping an eye on some other judicial races around Wisconsin. Todd, do you happen to have any numbers for us at this point?
I can tell you final numbers, Terry.
Wow. That's good.
Because
you're good.
Because as it turned out, there wasn't much of a race. In the Court of Appeals tonight, we know that for sure in District number 1, which is essentially Milwaukee County, it's going to be William Brash and Sarah Greenan who will continue on because there's only two of them running, so they will both face each other in the general election. In District 4, which is essentially South Central Wisconsin here, it's going to be a former legislator, Chris Taylor, going unopposed onto the general election there. So we can tell you that for sure is going to happen. In Grant County tonight, still no numbers in that we have seen, but there is a three-way contest there. The top two vote getters will go on to face each other in the general. It is a contest between Lisa Reinecker, who is the Grant County District Attorney. And then also we have Jennifer Day, who is a criminal defense attorney, family law as well. She served as a municipal court judge over in Jefferson County. And now that she's in Greene County, she's running for a judgeship there. And then Jeffrey Erickson, who has had the role of the current role of public defender in Grant County. So waiting to see what comes in there. And then up in Oneida County, current incumbent Judge Mary Burns is running for another term in Oneida County. She is being challenged by two people. Again, the top two vote getters tonight go on to April 4th. Michael Sheik, the Oneida County District Attorney, wants to move up into the judge seat. And also Attorney Mike Fugel running in Oneida County as well. No numbers in as of yet.
Thank you very much, Tom Albaugh. And to recap, Janet Protasiewicz, she will go on to the April election. What we're doing the rest of the night, keeping an eye on the race for the other spot between Dan Kelly and Jennifer Darrow. Right now, Kelly at 23.4% of the votes yet counted, Jennifer Darrow at 22.5%, and things will get interesting as those rural counties come in. We are going to check in now with Melissa Kay. She is keeping an eye on central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley. Hi, Melissa.
Hello, Terry. So things are wrapping up quickly over in this area as well. The Outagamie County, it looks like, unofficial numbers, the incumbent Nelson has 50.29% of the vote. So it looks like he is going to be able to keep himself in there for another term. And in these counties that I'm watching, Kelly is leading in that second place. Outagamie, Marathon, Wood, and Brown counties, all of them, Kelly is pulling in a lot more votes than Darrow. And then the school board election in Wisconsin Rapids is also, all districts have reported the incumbent president, John Krings, brought in the second highest number of votes. Kathy Stebbin-Hintz, who was a former curriculum executive there, brought in the most votes with over 2,400. And then we've got Mike Deary. Looks like he has secured third place. He ran last election cycle, so he's got a lot of name recognition. He's been in the community since the 70s, which I think helped him out. And then the fourth person I think is going to move on is probably Christopher Inda here. He's a realtor in the area. Jan Farnborough, like Shepard mentioned, it's funding and name recognition and getting out there, and this is her first time running. So I think that she will definitely be a face that we'll see again, because she is very well qualified for the position, and I hope she runs again.
Very good. Thank you very much, Melissa Kay, keeping an eye on things in central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley, where Dan Kelly seems to be gaining some traction as the votes come in later on. We're checking in now, I believe, with Don Brown, who's keeping an eye on southeast Wisconsin, a very crowded race for Milwaukee City Council. Hi, Don.
Hey, Terry, thanks for checking in. And so in the first district, we have, sorry about this. Yes, Andrea Pratt, excuse me, the equal rights specialist for the city of Milwaukee and the daughter of former Milwaukee Mayor Marvin Pratt. She is 34, this is with 96% of this of the precincts in for this district. She has 34% of the vote, 597. And the next person up is David Bowen, the former state rep, and he has 31% of the vote. So that hasn't been declared yet. And then the only one that comes close in that district is Xandra Bailey with 19%. In District 5, we have Lamont Westmoreland, the business owner, financier, has 1,222 votes, 33%. This is also with 96% of the precincts voting. Annette Jackson is second with 16% and 594 votes. And then 15% is Roy Banks, the retired assistant police chief, 15% with 555 votes. In District 9, we have Odell Bell with 24%, 482 votes, followed by Larissa Taylor. This is 90% of the precincts in, 19%, 386 votes. And then Amber Davis, 16%, 335 votes. And then the next two candidates come in at each having 12%. So a closer race there. And to answer your point earlier, Terry, about the high turnout is, I have the help here of Blue Sky Marketing, Kristen Hansen, here in the studio. And she's indicated that these Milwaukee aldermanic seats, they don't become vacant very often. You get that seat, you're there for a long time. And another great trend, too, is in Waukesha, the voter turnout in Waukesha County is 33%, which rivals most general elections. And normally in a spring primary, you're expecting about 12%. And it's also come in at like 40% of last fall's general election. So very high voter turnout this time in the spring elections.
So it sounds like it's a matter of opportunity, a rare opportunity for open seats to be taken advantage of, that advantage of incumbency not in play.
Yeah. All three seats were vacated.
Very good. So, thank you very much, Don Brown. We'll check in with you again soon. We go now as quickly as we can to Terry Barr, who is keeping track of the mayoral primaries in Madison and Racine. And we'll check in with Terry as soon as we can. Janet Protasiewicz, as we mentioned, she's wrapped up the first spot in the Supreme Court. Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro running a tight race for that other spot. Terry Barr joins us now with what's going on in Madison and Racine.
Yes. Hi, Terry. We haven't seen many changes as we look at the Madison mayoral race. Just a few things to tell you about to maybe point out when it comes to the Madison mayoral race. It really does look like at this point with, we're about to the end now. We've got incumbent Satcha Rhodes Conway. Again, we were talking about how she has been campaigning on her leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic, and then also the vision that she would like to get a second opportunity with this second term to try to carry out, which is the rapid transit bus system. She has, we're at 100. And 25 of 155, so very close to being completed here. Gloria Reyes, just as she has been the entire night, is coming in as the challenger in second place. And of course, now these would be the two that would move on to our spring election in April. And Gloria, as we have talked about, former deputy mayor. She's also been a former Madison School Board president and former police officer. And her whole plan in campaigning has been to try to get people to understand how important it is to keep people here, to get them into school, to then move them into a workplace pipeline, and hopefully try to get more living wages in the Madison area and allow these people to be able to afford a house in the city rather than having to go look outside of the city. As we know, housing and trying to purchase a home is a big expense in the city of Madison.
Terry, we've had Barr, two keeping other things.
Folks
Terry, can
that
you stand
have
by?
Been
we'll be...
running, but at this
Terry?
Point, yes.
could you sit tight? We'll be right back
to
finish that thought. Thank you very much. Civic Media Election Night coverage continues.
Have you talked with former President Trump since you've announced your run?
I have not.
He's weighed in, you know, on races like this and endorsed. Would you seek his endorsement or welcome it?
I am not seeking his endorsement.
Would you welcome it?
He has a right to endorse whomever he wants to endorse. For me, I'm seeking the endorsement of the people of the state of Wisconsin.
As Judge Jennifer Doro very much still alive in this race, what's coming down to a race for the second spot in the April ballot. She was talking with WISN-TV's Upfront program about whether or not she would accept or seek the endorsement of Donald Trump. We are, Todd Albaugh, kind of seeing the shadow of Donald Trump over this election, even though he has been out of office for a couple of years now.
Following the reporting tonight of Dan Schaefer of Recombobulation, a friend of this network of Civic Media, he making the point tonight on Twitter that Jennifer Doro is underperforming or Dan Kelly is outperforming Jennifer Doro, particularly in the Fox Valley tonight. In Brown County, we saw some of those numbers earlier tonight. But yeah, I mean, there's a price to be paid yet for those who think that Donald Trump is not still the flag bearer of the Republican Party. Tonight is bearing that out, just like we saw last fall when in the primary when Tim Michaels beat Rebecca Clayfish for the Republican primary there. Michaels, of course, was the endorsed candidate of Donald Donald Trump, and Trump making known that he was a Dan Kelly backer. And once again, Dan Kelly beating the Scott Walker endorsed candidate of Jennifer Doro. So this is an interesting dynamic to look at, because Wisconsin is going to be ground zero once again as we move forward to 2024. And as Professor has pointed out tonight, other people have pointed out, you're going to see ungodly amounts of money poured into the state between now and April 4th to win this race for reasons we stated at the top of tonight's special report, because there is so much at stake here legislatively, redrawn maps potentially, abortion rights. These are big national-type issues that will reframe this state for the next decade, and there's going to be a lot of money put in already tonight. The Wisconsin Democratic Party officially endorsing Jennifer Janet Protasiewicz, so it's already begun.
Thank you very much, Todd Albaugh. We'll get back to you. Terry Barr still has the results from Racine to share with us so far, at least the latest numbers.
I would love to get you some updated results. In fact, I was just messaging with Todd if he might have the very latest. For some reason, mine are not updating now, but I thought maybe this would be an interesting time to share with you. So much talk about the Supreme Court. And of course, in covering the Madison area, I'm also looking at some of the races in Dane County. So this probably would not be a surprise looking at Dane County. Of course, you have Janet Protasiewicz as the top vote getter. And then Everett Mitchell is the second vote getter. He's right around 15%. And then Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro, both right around 8%. I know it depends where you go and what part of Wisconsin, but I thought that would be interesting to share with, at least in Dane County, more than 90% of all the votes are now counted.
Thank you,
Todd,
Terry.
Any update from the Racine mayor?
We'll get to that soon enough. Would like to check in with Melissa Kay now, if she's standing by. Melissa has numbers to report from central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley.
Yes. So like I said, the numbers for the Outagamie County, they're in. They're 100% reported. The incumbent won that race, Tom Nelson. And the numbers are still looking really good for Kelly. He is outperforming Doro in every single one of these counties I'm looking at. Outagamie, Marathon, Wood, Brown. He is pulling in the numbers for that Supreme Court race.
Very good.
And, yeah. 100% of the districts for the 19, all 19 districts for the school board race in Rapids have pulled through. The only person that doesn't look like she's moving on is Jen Farmbrough, but still no numbers yet for Green Bay.
That is very interesting. Yeah, it's funny how we learn later why some of these precincts and why some of these communities are slow to report, but in the moment, it's kind of mysterious, but we will definitely keep an eye on all of that. Melissa Kay, thank you so much. Very busy night in southeast Wisconsin. Open seats, an unusual number of open seats, 3 on the Common Council. That's why we have 20 people running in this February primary, and Don Brown will check in with him as soon as we humanly can. And Todd, you definitely had the tea leaves. You're reading definitely indicate that we're still feeling sort of the Trump hangover in Wisconsin, especially in the suburbs and in the rural areas.
Yeah, I think it's just this divide, if you will, in the Republican Party. We're seeing it play out in real time tonight with the base. This is what you have people like former Speaker of the House and Congressman, Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan, going on national television saying, we're over Trump. I'm a never Trumper once again, and we're moving on. But yet we're seeing in the voting base, remember, the people that came out tonight on both sides, both progressive and conservative, the people that come out in a February spring primary election, this is the base of the base, right? I mean, these are the most, these are the people that follow things the closest and are most motivated to vote. And what you were seeing tonight on the conservative side are the base of the base saying, so far, again, there's still 70-some percent reporting right now, 71% reporting. Still some time to go, only a percent or two in between Kelly and Doro. But so far, you're seeing the base say, no, we're still with Donald Trump. We're with his candidate, Kelly. And don't forget, Kelly, of course, best buddies with former Justice Michael Gableman, who launched that investigation, what they called it, into the 2020 election, which was baseless, which was about $2 million of taxpayer money on. So these are the election denier part of the Republican Party, and so far, Kelly leading tonight.
Maurice Shepard, what are your reflections on what we're seeing so far?
I think that in terms, well, name recognition matters. So I think in terms of Kelly, if it isn't directly pulling once again from sort of, you know, Donald Trump and his base, I think his name recognition is out there. And also just the bit of campaigning that Kelly has engaged in during the primary, he really focused on the idea that, you know, he will, if he gets back on the court, he will be the true conservative voice. He has actually taken some shots, he's put his aim, his target on other Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, Brian Hagedorn, for example, that Hagedorn is not sufficiently conservative. That was sort of a label that he placed on him. That was also sort of a tactic that Kelly used in some of his ads and also in some of his interviews, that electing Doro would simply be adding another Hagedorn to the court, and as conservatives, that's something we simply sort of cannot have. So I think part of what we see in terms of the results coming in, particularly in some of the northern counties, Kelly is sort of reaping the rewards of his staunch conservatism. Again, and some of that, I think, as many of you have mentioned, now does sort of link back to former President Donald Trump.
It certainly would seem to be that way. You are listening to Election Night coverage on your Civic Media radio station. Let's take a look at the top race in Wisconsin right now. A race for second for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Daniel Kelly and Jennifer Darrow in a statistical dead heat with 72% of the votes counted, according to the Associated Press. Kelly with just shy of 24%. Doro just a little over 22%, but we still have maybe about a quarter of the ballots left to be counted. So there's a long way left to go. And we will be right here, scheduled to be on at least through 11 o'clock here on the Civic Media Network. Todd Alba, welcome to the program.
The coffee is brewing, so or at least the Mountain Dew. I want to update because I have a little bit of difficulty earlier with equipment with Terry Barr, and so she asked me to update the Madison numbers.
Oh, yes.
And so we have those for you right now. Take a look here in Madison. It is incumbent Astatia Rhodes Conway now leading and, in fact, has declared victory, at least in the one of the primary slots, at 60% now, the incumbent mayor of Madison. Madison looks to go on to the general election in April. And right now, looking like pretty safe to say Gloria Reyes, the former deputy mayor of Madison, is probably going to be her opponent with 28%, and Scott Kerr, the city of Madison employee, at 12%. And that is with 91% reporting. So pretty safe to say it's going to be Satya Rhodes Conway taking on Gloria Reyes in the general election for the next mayor of Madison.
Very interesting. Thank you, Todd. We may or may not have Don Brown with us. Here is Don with the latest numbers from the Milwaukee City Council and some other important Southeast Wisconsin races.
Sure. Hey, Terry. Yeah, no change. Nothing's been declared, but it looks like in the first district in Milwaukee that equal rights specialist Andrea Pratt and David Bowen will face off in the general election this April. They both have 34% and 31% respectively. That's David Bowen, the former state assemblyman. And in the 5th district, Lamont Westmoreland still has a commanding lead, 33%. And Annette Jackson is second with 16%. Ray Banks, retired assistant police chief, at 15%. Those numbers don't look to change. There's 96% in still. So it hasn't been officially called. But as of right now, it looks like it'll be Westmoreland and Jackson. But of course, we'll be watching that one closely. And then in the 9th district, again, 96% in. Odell Ball is on top with 24%. And then Laressa Taylor, both teachers. Ball is retired, 24%, 19% respectively. Amber Danius comes in third at 16%. But again, not official, but it looks like we'll see Odell Ball and Laressa Taylor
competing in the general election in April.
Thank you, Don. What's going on in the 8th Senate District? Looks like that's been called.
That's been called, yep. So it just like you said, an establishment win for Dan Noddle. So, and there was an expectation that Will Mobley would actually take that, or would it had a distinct advantage in terms of a money raise. But it's just as we discussed that the establishment and all that political experience and the connections has trumped the money that Mobley was able to raise. So, and yeah, so like I said, Noddle's been declared, and you know, that one being a smaller area there, Menominee Falls area, Ozaukee County, easier to count for that race. So that's why we were able to get a decision pretty quickly. So, but yeah, unless we hear differently, those are your winners in Milwaukee. And yeah, that's about it. What we have here in down in Milwaukee, Waukesha area.
Very good. Thank you, Don Brown.
Thanks,
from the
Terry.
WAUK studios in Waukesha. Civic Media coverage of primary election night continues on your local Civic Media radio station.
Passionate about, and you really wanted to come out in a particular way. And so you say, I'm going to go and find a justice who will promise me that he'll vote or she'll vote in this particular way on this issue. I think that's a dangerous place to go, because if you find a candidate who will promise you that they will vote in a particular way on your favorite issue, that kind of justice is also going to be taking politics into account in voting on every other issue, because judicial activism versus constitutional conservatism, it's an all or nothing thing.
Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, right now in second place in the primary for Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's talking to PBS Wisconsin about how he feels about judicial activism. And I'll throw it to the panel. We seem to have shaping up to be a race between a very unconventional candidate in Janet Protasiewicz, in that she's very upfront about how she thinks about different issues. Dan Kelly, who's a bit more reticent about sharing how he feels about specific issues, although it's worth noting that Dan Kelly did work for a voter integrity project. So even though he might not want to talk about it, that is something he actually did, and something he's probably going to have to answer for as we get into the general election, presuming he prevails tonight. Civic Media coverage of election night, the primary election. We have, as we have mentioned a few times tonight, Janet Protasiewicz locked up that first spot quite handily. She has already spoken to her supporters, and we'll hear what she had to say right now.
Everyone, I think we have exceeded all of our expectations, haven't we? I am absolutely delighted to be here, and it is wonderful that all of you came out here this evening to celebrate with me. I am absolutely honored that the people of this state have chosen me as one of the two candidates to move forward in April. And because of you, this campaign is the highest vote getter of all the other candidates. Whereas Senator Johnson, I'd like to thank Senator Johnson. She and I started talking about this campaign this summer. Thank you for your warm words and everything you have done and for your support. And then we have Becky Dallet. Can you believe Becky Dallet and what she has done? She has been here for me every step of the way, a sounding board, pumping me up with enthusiasm as we have gone along on this journey. Thank you so very, very much, Becky. Thank you so very much. And of course, Greg Stell. When I started talking to Greg about this campaign a year ago, I said, it's going to be a full year, Greg. All day, every day. No vacations. You and the dog. Are you up for it? And he was up for it, and he's been great. And of course, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, Justice Jill Karofsky, thank you to both of you as well. So, all of you who've been here, and I know what you've been doing, the phone banking, the letters to the editor, the canvassing, the campaign contributions, everything. I know what you've been doing, and I can't thank you enough. Thank you so very much. We've got all of this momentum. We need to keep this momentum going. We cannot... We cannot take our foot off the pedal for a second, because April 4th is a mere 42 days away, correct? I like that. And we need to be in the strongest position possible as we go into April. So, as much as we should celebrate tonight, and we certainly should, and we're going to have a good time, our work is far from over, right? Get on the doors with Jim. He's going to tell you how he does those doors. I'm counting on all of you, each and every one of you, to continue the momentum all the way through April 4th, because there's too much at stake, way too much at stake for us to stop for even a moment, right? Way too much. I got in this race because I care about our beautiful state. And I think our state deserves more than its current Supreme Court. I was born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee. Very, very hardworking parents. Worked my way through UW-Milwaukee, waitressing at Big Boy with my friend Chris, who's in back. Chris isn't up here because she's crying in back. Worked my way at Marquette Law School. And I've spent my entire life rooted in this community. I've dedicated my entire career to public service. My only client has ever been the state of Wisconsin. I've seen our judicial system up close, and I believe in something that is universal to every Wisconsinite. Everybody deserves a fair shot in our justice system. There should not be a thumb on the scale. Everybody deserves a fair shot. But that's not what we're getting from our Supreme Court today. I have been traveling all over this state. You name it, I've been there. Got my favorite restaurants all over the state. All my favorite cafes, from La Crosse to Manitowoc to Sheboygan. You name it, I've been there. I can tell you people are ready for a change. And I don't think we would have seen the election results we've seen today, but for the fact that people are ready for a change, right? People are ready for a justice who believes in fairness to all. Thank you, Jim. I can promise you, I will always make decisions based on the law, never on partisan extreme beliefs. And that's exactly what I've done my entire career. I was in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office for about 25 years, been on the bench for almost 10 years, and that's what I've spent my life doing, upholding the Constitution and following the law. I work very hard to uphold the laws of our state, to protect victims, to hold criminals accountable. That's what I have done. And I can assure you that as a member of our Supreme Court, I will always be fair and impartial. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how I'll rule in any case, but throughout this race, I have been absolutely clear about what my values are. And that's because I believe the voters of this state deserve to know what a candidate's values are. I value a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions. I value our democracy. Thank you, Kathy. And I believe that every Wisconsinite deserves to be fairly represented. Your vote matters. Everybody's vote matters. And the Constitution, our Constitution, guarantees the right to vote and to have a representative democracy in this country. I value public safety, and I believe that everybody deserves to live in a safe community. We need to uphold our laws, protect the rights of victims, and hold offenders accountable. These are not partisan values. This is common sense, right? It's common sense. At this point, we don't know who my opponent is going to be in April. It's too early to tell. The results are still coming in. But regardless of who it is, we know I'll be running against someone who doesn't share my value. I'll be running against someone who doesn't think women get to make their own reproductive rights. I will guarantee you that my opponent, if elected, will uphold the 1849 near total abortion ban. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you we will elect someone who does not care about our democracy, who does not have the same values. And that is why we need to win on April 4th. With your help, we can make that happen. And I'm counting on all of you. We only have 6 weeks. I'm not taking a day off. I'm not taking a minute off. I'm going to ask all of you to do the same thing. We can celebrate tonight, right? But after that, we are full speed ahead for 42 days. And the reason we're not even taking a day off is because everything we care about, and as I've told people across this state, everything we care about is going to be determined by who wins this election. So join us at janetforjustice.com. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Make sure they know just how important this race is. Together, I know that we will prevail on April 4th, and we will bring change and common sense to our Supreme Court. So thank you to all of you. I look forward to talking with you tonight. Thank you for coming out here on this kind of cold, just starting to snow evening, and let's go win this thing. Thank you, everybody.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance, go to run on.
That is Janet Protasiewicz giving her acceptance speech to her supporters tonight. She has locked up the first of the two general election spots for Wisconsin Supreme Court. You are listening to primary election night coverage on your local civic media radio station.
This is continuing coverage of the Wisconsin spring primary election on your local civic media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
primary election night coverage on your local Civic Media radio station. Good evening, I'm Terry Bell, the news director for the Civic Media radio stations. Joined in the studio by Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show, and also by Madison College political scientist Maurice Shepard. Gentlemen, any thoughts about what Janet Protasiewicz just had to say? Dr. Shepard.
Well, one, that's a very happy person. She's on cloud nine. She's worked hard and she's achieved it. So, you know, great for her. One thing I will follow up on that she did talk about was in terms of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and its reputation. It used to have a very, and I'm not, once again, I'm not the only person sort of saying this, but the Wisconsin State Supreme Court used to have a very high level of respect across the country with other, once again, state judges and also federal judges and that sort. And the court its reputation has fallen on hard times. I recently read an article published last month by the Harvard Law Review that criticized, once again, this state Supreme Court that during the redistricting process, that when the 4-3 majority conservative court decided to use the strategy that Republicans were putting forward, that the new 2020 map, the map based on the 2020 census data, that it should be changed as little or as least as possible from the 2010 maps. That in this law review article, it said that the court was wrongheaded in that decision. That it engaged openly by doing that, it engaged openly in policy making. It wasn't making the law. That if they wanted to once again redraw the map and that sort of thing, they should have done that. But what they should not have done is engaged in policy making, because in essence, what they did in that case was establish a precedent that now moving forward. Is the standard now in Wisconsin that after we have a census and we go to redraw the maps, that now the standard is, well, let's make sure it's not changed too much from that last map. So I think her comments did once again point in that direction, that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it needs to regain its reputation and it needs to do a better job in terms of, again, deciding cases and not engage in politics and policy making.
Do you see that as a central theme going forward as we get to the general election campaign?
Definitely. That's one of a hallmark, once again, of American politics is that, you know, the judicial system should be as much as possible, once again, separate from sort of politics. And even in terms of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin founders, you know, that's one of the things that they wanted. They wanted to have a judiciary that would be as much as possible separate from politics, but still responsible to the voters. That's why we have this strange sort of nonpartisan sort of election process, right? We at least have the veneer of, once again, removing politics from it, but we still want to make sure that those officials are accountable to the people.
Valuable insights. Thank you very much, Maurice Shepard. I believe Melissa Kay should be on the line, ready to get us up to date with the numbers from central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Terry. So the numbers have poured in for both mayor races in Green Bay and Stevens Point.
Okay.
So the incumbent in Stevens Point, Mike Wiesa, secured it handily with 2,276 votes. He got about a little over 900 more than the next runner-up, which was Melissa Johnson. So he will be starting another term as the mayor of Stevens Point. In Green Bay, the numbers are really, really tight. 100% of the, and obviously, you know, these are unofficial results.
Yes.
But 100% of the vote is in, and it looks like the incumbent has been unseated.
Wow.
Chad Weininger received 27% of the vote with 6,189 votes, and the incumbent Eric Genrich received 6,102 votes. That's a difference of 87 votes, Terry.
Holy cow.
So That's really, really tight.
You can't get much tighter than that. And no. You were saying that, I believe earlier in the evening, that it would seem to be the case against the incumbent that perhaps was driven largely by social media. Maybe some
that was in Outagamie County.
Thank you very much.
For the Outagamie County executive. And the incumbent, Tom Nelson, looks to have prevailed in that race. He seems to have won handily over his two challengers.
I'd be interested to know what the dynamics are in the Green Bay race and why an incumbent would lose a race like this.
Well, this is only his second term that he is seeking, and he's been challenged by someone who is very well qualified for the position. Chad Weininger is already a the Brown County Administration Director. He's got experience. He was a former Wisconsin State Representative on the Republican side, former Green Bay City Clerk, former Chief of Staff to the Mayor of Green Bay. He also was seated on the Board of Appeals in Green Bay, former member of the Green Bay Planning Commission, St. Norbert's College bachelor's degree. So he's got a lot, you know, riding on his coattails of qualifying him for the position.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a lot of political machinery behind him. That's a good way to build a network that helps you reach higher office.
And he spoke to a lot of the issues that people are passionate about. Like we mentioned before, taxes are high, roads are crumbling. They want safe neighborhoods, affordable housing.
Melissa, I'm just curious. This is Todd back in the studio here with Terry. I'm curious, 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was an article that we carried on our show that the mayor's office kind of got into, in the papers at least, where State Senator Andre Jock was attacking the mayor for installing cameras in City Hall, but also recording devices as well, or microphones in these public hallways. And whether or not that was taken out of context or not, do you think that story played any role in tonight's results?
You know, Todd, I saw the headline. I did not get a chance to read the story, but, you know, it's all about optics, too, where it may have played a part. It's hard to say. People don't like to be watched, and people don't like things that they don't necessarily understand all the ramifications of. Just think about how nervous people were when they realized we were putting traffic cameras traffic lights.
I think that was the point that was made out in the story is that there was really no signs, and these cameras and the microphones were in public hallways, so they weren't in private offices. And it was the mayor basically said it was for security reasons, but they never really told people. And so now they said they were going to put up signs that say microphones. But State Senator Andre Jock, a Republican, was attacking the mayor, saying, you know, this is surveillance without people's permission, this sort of thing. So be curious to see in the postmortem if that had an effect.
Yeah, I would be too, because we want more safety. But we also don't want, we don't want CCTV. So how do you draw that line?
Exactly. Thank you very much, Melissa Kay, keeping an eye on Central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley. Don Brown is keeping an eye on Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin. Welcome back, Don.
Precincts are in.
There we go.
Yep, here we go. Sorry. Thanks again, Terry. So all the precincts are in for the 3 special aldermanic primary elections in Milwaukee. And staying the course, Equal Rights Specialist Andrea Pratt and David Bowen, former state rep, will be competing in the general election for the 1st District. In District 5, we have business owner Lamont Westmoreland and city employee who's worked in 3 different departments, Annette Jackson, will be competing in April. And then in the 9th District, it is retired school teacher Odell Ball and current Milwaukee school teacher Larissa Taylor fighting for that seat in the April general election. And one trend we also want to report on regarding the Supreme Court race was so Jennifer Doro did win. Judge Doro won Waukesha County and Washington County, and in Metro Milwaukee, we talk about the WOW counties. It's the 3, you know, and Ozaukee County is still a flip-flop. She was leading, and then she was down to Protasiewicz, and now she's back up again. So these are some interesting trends. We also, at a very local level, we had some reports from in one of the Brookfield precincts, they were
tens of ballots that had to be tossed out because voters voted for both Protasiewicz and Mitchell, thinking they could vote for two candidates and not understanding that it was the top two. And then in one Waukesha precinct, too, you know, we talked about the high voter turnout. We had one precinct that recorded 1,100 votes, which, again, for a spring primary is very high and very encouraging. So
thank you very much, Don. Yeah, that was a kind of some people were confused by that. They heard a lot of talk about the top two vote getters and then thought they could vote for two of the four candidates, but that not the case. Speaking of top two vote getters, Todd Albaugh, we have the race for Supreme Court in April is now set, at least unofficially, according to AP projections.
According to the Associated Press tonight, Terry, we can tell you that Daniel Kelly, the former Supreme Court Justice here in Wisconsin, will be in the finals facing off against Janet Protasiewicz. The numbers are in, and according to the Associated Press, former Justice Daniel Kelly is projected to be the second winner tonight, as he has 24.4% of the vote right now. Jennifer Doro trailing at 21.9%. Right now, it looks like, with percentage of votes in, 87% of the votes in, and if you look at what's still out, there just simply isn't enough votes there, it appears, for Kelly to, or pardon me, for Doro to make up the difference. So AP calling it for Dan Kelly tonight. He is the conservative. He will face the progressive, Janet Protasiewicz, come April 4th in the general election.
Maurice Shepard, what can we expect from a Protasiewicz versus Kelly campaign?
Well, it will be a tough fight. I'm looking at the map right now, and in some areas, again, for Kelly, where he won, he was able to sort of run up the score. But the same thing can be said again for his future rival. I think the map, when we get to the general, as you look at the primary map, this isn't sort of reality, right? Because the conservative vote was sort of split. When we get to the general, you know, now all of the conservatives will sort of come together. And then again, there'll be other voters that will come out and participate. So I would expect that when we get to the general election, you know, the election map will look similar to state Supreme Court elections of the past, where the liberal will take Madison, Milwaukee, but also take, once again, that area along the western end of Wisconsin.